Hello and welcome back to the second part of this double bill of a Go High West Yorkshire UniConnect podcast, where last time out we spoke about disabled learners and the support that's available to them. And this time we're going to hear from some student ambassadors that identify as disabled, and we're going to hear about their experiences and what it's been like for them going through their higher education journey. So first off, I welcome back Al. Welcome back. Hi. To the podcast. And we've also got Amira. So hey. Welcome to the podcast as a first-timer. It's always nice to have someone. It might be our first time having someone back on the podcast. So you're the first return. The first one we've allowed back. But it's always nice to have fresh faces as well. So both welcome.
Hi, I'm Al. I'm 23. I'm studying music production at Whitfield College, the university centre bit.
Hi everyone, I'm Amira. I'm studying psychology at Bradford University.
Perfect, thank you both. Both very different courses, but also both very interesting courses. And also I think ones that are sort of massively popular at the moment. So it's really cool to get your guys' sort of thoughts and opinions on things. Welcome to the UniConnect podcast.
Thank you.
I don't know if maybe you guys want to sort of just give us a little bit of a breakdown of maybe sort of your background with disabilities and things. Al, do you want to start us off?
Ooh, where do we start?
Wherever you like.
So, I'm autistic.
Okay.
For sure. Diagnosed when I was 16, 17.
Yeah.
Went through school not knowing. Got zero GCSEs. And every qualification I've got was as an adult.
Yeah.
At Wakefield.
Wow.
Which is kind of like...
Yeah, big up Wakefield.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's amazing. How have you found that? Did it get easier after your diagnosis?
100%.
Yeah.
It's just accepting who you are, isn't it? That's the ultimate goal in life, I find.
Yeah.
It's just being comfortable with yourself, and I'm really good at some things, I'm not so good at other things. That sort of, I see it as part of my personality, but I'm not, I lose autistic.
Yeah.
It's bigger than that. It's
yeah. Nah, it's a really positive and an amazing way to look at it. And it's really cool that you've been able to go to Wakefield College and to sort of overcome that, I guess, and to still then go on and to study your music and things 100%. Like that, which is really awesome. Amira, what about you? How would you...
So I'm dyslexic. I was just told that I was dyslexic at the start of university when I started going through screenings with the disability services.
Yeah.
And I was literally told throughout all my high school life that, you know, you can't spell, you can't read, you can't do this. And then when I've come to uni, they've said, you know what, it's okay and we'll sort of give you support.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How have you found that adjustment? So, obviously having that confirmation, I guess, in as an hour is quite a relief and a big deal, I guess, to you.
Yeah, 100%. You do feel more comfortable, you feel more confident within yourself. Whatever you're doing, you sort of think, yeah, I can do it. Rather than thinking you can't and being told that you can't, you sort of have a better attitude towards everything.
Yeah. Did you, when you were applying to university, was that something that you went to the support that was available to you, or how did that come about?
The funny thing is that they sort of send you so many emails, and I struggled to read, so I couldn't read it. So I waited until I got into university and spoke to people about it. Luckily, they were really, really fast. They did everything within the first semester.
Yeah.
So by the second semester, all my support was in place. Mm. Even, I think, halfway throughout my first semester, the support that I required was in place. And that's all the screenings done. And even through, like, government funding, DSA, that was all sorted halfway through first semester.
Wow, so it was a quick process.
It was very, very quick.
Do you mind talking us through that process a little bit, like what actually happened and
First you had to apply online for a screening, which was really, really simple. It was like a 10-15 minute test, and then people get back to you with emails and you just follow through it. You sort of, we actually came into Leeds to get a proper screening done. That took about an hour doing different tests. And as soon as they wrote up the report, the university wrote up a report on their behalf as well. So that was for the university, all the lecturers to look at. It's called a LSP, Learner Support Profile.
Okay.
So that's now on my profile at uni. So whenever lecturers need access to that, they can see what additional help I need.
Mm.
And as soon as you get that through, then you get a lot of help from the university.
Yeah. What sort of help have you had so far? I guess you've just finished your first year, haven't you?
Yeah.
So what have you...
So all the lecturers are required to give me lecture slides a 1 week or 2 weeks before they actually come out, so then I can read through them and try to understand them.
Yeah.
With assignments, the briefs are really, really simplified. Everything's sort of cut down and it's given to me in advance.
Yeah.
And it's just so many little things, even just getting extra time in exams, coloured paper, and the government's given me a laptop and we're sort of told that we're allowed to use it and record in lectures, and all the lecturers are made aware of that.
It's the little things, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think a lot of the time it's like the things that people wouldn't even maybe second guess.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're also getting that extra support just to make things like just a little bit more manageable for you, which is really cool.
Yeah, 100%.
Al, with your diagnosis, do you want to talk us sort of similarly to how Amira just did, maybe how that process was for you? Or
for sure, yeah.
So was that before you went to Wakefield College, or was it when you started
for sure.
College? Yeah.
So I was 17. I dropped out.
Yeah.
I had bad mental health, all that. It was like the school became an academy.
Okay.
And all uniform changed and everything got so much stricter.
Yeah.
At the same time, my grandma went well.
Yeah.
We were in hospital. It was sort of like that coupled with the young diagnosed autism.
Yeah. A lot of big
it's
changes.
Like, why do you care about what my tie looks like when my grandma's well, really not well?
100%, yeah.
She's fine now. She's fine.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she's good.
But I guess that was a lot of big changes that were going on in your life, and you 100%. Were just really struggling to understand why that was so important and why some people were holding that as such a high regard, I guess, and you couldn't even comprehend that.
I know we're a good student. I was doing well. I would have come out academically quite good, yeah.
Yeah.
And comfortable, you know, to do whatever college I wanted to.
Yeah. So was it after that you got diagnosed?
Yes. So I got withdrawn from school in year 10.
Yeah.
Very depressed and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's
okay. Mental health.
We tried to go through CAMHS. Can I talk about CAMHS?
What is CAMHS?
So it's like child mental health services.
Okay, cool.
We ended up, I got counselling and that sort of thing.
Because,
again, very depressed. But it was them that actually said, like, you realise you might be autistic, right? You might be.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of everything falls into place.
Yeah, and clicks.
And in the end, we went private for a diagnosis because it was going to be like another year or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's like just that relief when they say, this is who you are.
Yeah.
It's not you. It's something that you can't control.
Yeah, 100%.
You're not just crazy.
Yeah.
It's like trying to fit in life when you're a little bit different.
Yeah, but it's good that it's sort of it's a very positive outcome that you sort of went through this challenging period, but then sort of through Wakefield College and the support that you've had there, you sort of managed to being diagnosed and then sort of be able to move on, and I guess everything makes sense and you can sort of start to put things together that you probably couldn't put together before. Is that fair to say?
And in jumping into Wakefield, having that diagnosis and being able to, my tutors received that and this is what this person needs.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. It's very different.
And that made
it
doable. That made it possible to do.
Yeah. It's very different from school, isn't it? Where can you even imagine a teacher in school giving you slides of their lesson in advance or extra time on assignments and things like that. It's not as common, is it, I guess, that where there's more support available in that sense when you get into that higher education setting. So I guess if there's students out there that are listening to this and they're thinking, I'm really struggling now, let alone going on to university or studying higher education in a further education setting like a college, then actually sometimes the support goes up, so it maybe gets a little bit easier, which is quite...
I think so, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're sort of encouraged to be your own person and do your own thing.
Yeah, I guess you're an adult as well, so you're able to choose what you do and how you do it a little bit more, which makes it gets a bit easier than being told you have to wear your tie and you have to go to this lesson then. Definitely. I'm glad it was both sort of a more comfortable and positive experience for you once you got into that higher education setting. I want to talk about, obviously we've heard about the support that yourself got Amira, sort of over the assignments, the extensions, and sort of more time and sliding in advance.
Yeah.
Al, what about Wakefield College? Is there any specific support that you can think of that you've received extra?
Loads. So I get like a specialist mentor once a week.
Yeah.
And more if I need it. We talk through whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
And very often that's assignment briefs and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And it just helps me see things for what they are. I very often overthink things.
Yeah.
And get a bit more stressed than I maybe need to.
Yeah.
I struggle sometimes with the assignment verbs, you know, the sort of critically evaluate this. And
yeah.
It breaks it down into smaller chunks.
Yeah.
Which makes it digestible, makes it...
Yeah. It's doable, good having, you know, someone to just talk to about it, isn't it? And sometimes you can read something on a piece of paper and just think, I've no idea what this means, what I'm supposed to do. But actually having someone that you can go to maybe discuss that with and go back and forth with can make that a lot more manageable. How have you found that, Amira? Have you, the actual people that work in the support team at the University of Bradford, how have you found them?
They're amazing, because it's when you read things off paper, you often misinterpret it, or you think it's asking you one thing and it's asking you something else. So just to go up to them and have them clarify it, it's like even when you, if you was to email your lecturers, a lot of my lecturers sort of say, okay, send me your work and I'll see if it's right.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're supposed to do that mid-assignments and things, but it's good because sometimes you're doing something and you sort of get so into the work that you're thinking, wait a minute, is this what they're asking me? And you've got to sort of like step back because you can't understand what they're actually asking you because it's all on paper. You sort of need someone to clarify it and talk to you.
Yeah. And are they like sort of really, really easy for you to access?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They reply literally within the same day, if not next working day.
Yeah.
So
you can just email them, and can you like book appointments with them? I guess that goes to both of you. Can you like book appointments if you need to?
Yeah, so we've actually got something called a PAT. It's a personal academic tutor, and she is always available. So there's sort of maybe 10 of us assigned to her.
Yeah.
And there's loads of them throughout our for our course.
Yeah.
And she normally has appointments either same day or next day, whenever you're free, and you can sort of call her on Teams or phone or book it in real life, whatever you feel comfortable with, and you can just talk to her about any stress. It doesn't even need to be an assignment. If you're just worried about something, if you don't know how something works, you can just talk to her.
Yeah.
So she's brilliant.
No, that's amazing to hear. I think so many students going into this new sort of chapter of their education journey, they're so worried about what they're leaving behind, sort of maybe teachers that they're really comfortable with, maybe mentors that they've got who have helped them through their sort of school years. But actually, there's loads more things that maybe are going to become available to you as you move into sort of your higher education. Which sort of kind of brings me on to, what were your guys' biggest worries when you were applying to university, or when you were applying to Wakefield College? Because we've kind of seen across the board that there's a lot of support there, but I guess you didn't know that at the time. So what were your biggest worries?
I think the idea is that it could be just like returning to education after a long time.
Yeah.
And sort of being a bit traumatised with all the sort of education system as a whole.
Yeah.
It's very regimented, but at Wakefield it's not so much.
Yeah.
It's a lot more relaxed. That would be big for me, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's something that's important. We've spoken a lot about on this podcast before, about research, and we would have spoken about it in the earlier part of this episode, and I'm sure, Al, when you were last here, we spoke about research and things like that. But looking ahead, and when you're looking at these different options ahead of you, all of these institutions, I work with 13 of them, and all of them offer amazing support for people with additional needs and disabilities. You're both amazing examples of that, and having access to that support at somewhere as like an institution like University of Bradford, or even somewhere like Wakefield College, where people might think, oh, that's a college, they offer higher education, is it going to be the same sort of support? And in some cases, actually, it's more so, because you've got those sort of smaller groups and things. And I think it's really important, and hearing you say that made me think again of research, and just making sure that when you're looking to go on to university, and to study that higher level, it's actually really important to research what the place is like. We spoke earlier about, in this earlier part of this episode, about what the accommodation's like, what the sort of campus looks like, and what the feel you get, how comfortable you feel there. I think that's really important. And Al, you're sort of saying how comfortable Wakefield College makes you feel, whereas you might not have felt that if you'd gone to University of Bradford or University of Leeds or somewhere like that. And it's about finding out as a person what you want and what's best for you, I guess, isn't it?
Definitely. And having... What are my words? When you're in the smaller place, you get that relationship with tutors we talked about last time.
Yeah. It's a little bit more intimate, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's like you could catch someone in corridor and say, I need to speak to you. And it's immediate. It's very...
Yeah.
Or you can message them on Teams and that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And he's always there. They're always there.
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, you've got Amira, who is at one of those sort of bigger institutions, and there's a lot going on. And do you feel like with the, when you take into consideration sort of the facilities that are there and everything else around it, around your course, do you feel like, was that overwhelming? Or did you feel comfortable with that? Or how did you feel?
You know, it's quite surprising because everyone sort of says when you're going to university, your lecturers are there and you just sit and listen for an hour or however long it is, and then you go. But it's a lot more personal than that. Like, anytime you can stop a lecturer and talk to them, you can try ask them questions.
Yeah.
And most of the time they will make time for you. You don't sort of have that one-to-one thing where every single lecturer will know your name because you're changing lecturers every semester.
Yeah.
So, but some lecturers do make the effort to sort of really get to know your name, get to know your needs, get to know what you need to do. I think the main worry was not knowing how higher education would be like you said, in a big institution.
Yeah.
But it was having all the stress of the dyslexia on top of that.
Yeah.
Thinking, how does that fit in? But as soon as you sort of realise that going into higher education isn't that scary, you sort of... you can become more confident with everything that you're doing.
Yeah,
it's not as scary.
Yeah, no, that's positive to hear. Yeah. I'm sure there's so many people who will listen to this and think, I'm scared or I'm worried or I'm sort of not wanting to do it. But you sort of hear like people like yourselves who are sort of, you're living it and you're doing it, and you probably at one time thought, oh, I don't know if I can do this.
I was that person.
You were that person. but you're doing it, and you're doing it really, really well. So it's like, it's super, super amazing and positive to hear. Just before we move on, Amira, was there anything else that you were worried about before you started university? I know you got your diagnosis when you were at university.
Yeah.
But obviously you still had your disability beforehand. So was there anything that you were worried about?
Yeah, well, a big worry was sort of right at the start. I went to go and get my diagnosis and they said there's a huge waiting list. Because of COVID as well, it sort of messed up people in the second year and third year. So they were wanting to get theirs done first.
Yeah.
And that, I was thinking, I'm not going to get it done until the end of the year. But they've got this thing called UBU Bradford, and they offer you any sort of support. You've got counselling, emotional support. Even if you just want to go talk to them to track your application, they were such a big help because they sort of always helped me. And they always said to me that, look, this is what's happening. And they related to me because they sort of dealt with it so much. They knew how to put everything at ease.
Yeah.
So it was scary because you're going into a place that's so big and you don't know where you're going and you don't know where any of your rooms are.
Yeah.
But honestly, as soon as you get there, it's not as bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You feel a lot more comfortable as soon as you're there.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, no, that is good. It is daunting. It's a big change for any student, let alone someone who's also dealing with their additional needs on top of that. And I think it's a real sort of... it's a real positive story that people who've been through that process can come out and say, this is the amazing support we've got. This is how we feel doing it and living it. It's all well and good sort of institutions saying, oh, we all offer this amazing stuff. This is what we want to do. But hearing from people like yourselves and actually receiving that and knowing that it works is really, really, it's like really uplifting, I think, for students to hear. It's quite a nice moment, I guess, for anyone maybe listening to this podcast. And you can definitely say, go to this minute of this podcast and listen to it. But is there anyone specifically that you can think of that's had like a really positive impact on you and what they've done? You can name drop them. You can be sweet about it. You can do anything you want. I'll leave it to you guys if you have
definitely
anyone.
For me, it's Andy.
Yeah.
He's gone above and beyond what his actual job role is. There ain't enough good things I can say about him. He's just been incredible, man.
Yeah. Just everyone knows Al just like touch his face and he's getting emotional. It's really
Like, make me cry. I've told him many times I'd have probably dropped out by now if it weren't for you. And he always says, No, you wouldn't have, genuinely.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be here without you.
Yeah. Which is really powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, well, thank you, Andy.
Oh, yeah. He's so lovely. He's nice.
Yeah. Is he one of those people that you can go to for support and have a one-to-one with and stuff like that?
Yeah, he's my one-to-one mentor.
Yeah, the one that you mentioned earlier.
Same guy.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. Super special to have those connections. Amira, is anyone that you've sort of worked with? If you don't know their name, that's fine. I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, it's okay. I think for me, it would be my partner, Nazneen, because every time... What happened was right at the start of the year, because they were sort of just putting everything in place with the diagnosis and everything.
Yeah.
One of my exams, the LSP, hadn't gone through. So I was put in the normal room with no extra things, which wasn't their fault because they got the exam sorted before it was all put in place. And she gave me like the utmost support I could possibly give. And she was emailing me every other day, asking me if I'm okay, asking me if I wanted to talk. I did multiple Teams meetings with her. And she sort of just puts your mind at ease. Even now, it's been a couple of months and she still emailed me just to sort of give me a little update on it.
Yeah.
And it's just knowing that sort of there's someone there that's going to listen to you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's definitely.
Special, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really important when you go to university, and we've mentioned it before on the podcast, that people don't necessarily know what needs you have and sort of what extra support you need. And there is so much available to you, but you need to go looking for it. Which isn't something you get at school. It's a very different setup. So when you actually go looking for that support, even though that feels maybe a bit daunting or intimidating, these people are there. It's sometimes not even just a job to them. Like, I'm sure both of you agree that you've worked with people that it's because they care, and it's because they're the type of people that this is what they want to do. It's not just they're there to pick up a paycheck or anything like that. They actively care. They will go out of their way to help you in any way they can. And they're always sort of super caring, nice people. Do you think that's like a fair thing to say?
100%.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. All of them, aren't they? They're all lovely.
Yeah.
You guys are better than me at this. Before we move on, what do you think that students with a disabled background, what do you think they should be doing when they're preparing for going on to higher education? What if you had to give maybe two or three things that they should do before they go, or if they're thinking about going?
I think one of the main things is just holding yourself accountable.
Yeah.
It's like, you can be, it's going to be a motivational speech, get ready?
Yeah, go for it.
It's like, you can do whatever you want. Mm. No one can really stop you.
Yeah.
But you have to think, I am where I am because of me. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, I think it makes sense.
It's like, if you're going to be a good student, you're going to get all your work in on time. Your tutors are going to meet you halfway.
Yeah.
It's literally as simple as that.
Yeah. If you put the work in, they're going to put the work in.
Yeah, you get out what you put in.
Yeah.
It's the same way anything, I suppose.
Yeah.
That's been my experience anyway.
Mm.
There's been times where, can I wiggle some deadlines around, please?
Yeah.
Can I get another week on this? But because they know when I'll get that work in, it'll be really good.
Mm.
They know it'll be my best effort.
Yeah.
They know I've turned up to every lesson on time. They know I've always been around, always interacted. And just be nice. Just be yourself. Be a nice person. It's so simple.
Yeah. I think we can say that across the board for anything. we advocate being nice.
It's like, if you're likable, people want to be with you.
Yeah. People want to help, and they want to get involved in things. Mm. And that goes across the boards. What about you, Amira? Anything you think that students should be doing before they go to university? Any preparation or research or anything like that?
Definitely research into everything, even the course that you think that you want to do, because there's so many courses that universities offer.
Yeah.
And it's like sometimes things might be a little bit more specifically tailored for you.
Yeah.
And that you might just find easier rather than doing something so broad. Mm. And relax. Just don't sort of work yourself up for anything. Take your time, relax, sort of chill out a little bit with it, and don't worry about it. Honestly, yeah. Just don't stress because it's not worth the stress at all because it's such an easy process.
Mm.
There's no point in working yourself up at all.
Yeah. I think you're right in saying that. And it's, again, there's support there for that process.
Exactly.
Something we spoke about earlier and in a sort of previous part of the podcast was that when you're doing this, you can actually contact those support services before you even applying. So these aren't just sort of services that are available to you once you're enrolled and once you're in your course. You can go to them for support if you're having problems with the DSA, when you're actually applying for your course or anything like that. They'll support you. So I guess really with your own experience, sort of all those emails coming through,
yeah,
and they were ready to jump on and give you extra support with that, which is really nice.
Yeah, exactly.
How have you both found sort of, I guess, making friends and the social aspect of university? Because that's a real big impact and a real big part of studying. And some people can maybe worry that their disability is going to impact that element of their time in higher education. So how have you found it?
Where do we start? I met my best friend on my course.
Yeah.
And she's incredible. She's like the best human in the entire whole world.
Oh, that's two very sweet shouts. That's that you've got into this episode.
I know some good people it seems. Yeah, it's, I don't think it's ever made a difference.
Mm.
I find it difficult to be social on occasion, for yeah. sure. And I find that, like today, I'll come and be social.
Mm.
Tomorrow I might not talk to anyone.
Yeah.
But I accept that that's worthwhile, right?
Yeah, get that little recharge in and you can reset yourself.
You always joke, it's like installing updates on your computer.
Yeah.
I'm like that. But as far as, I think at Wakefield it's so open.
Mm.
Like there's all sexualities, all races, everyone.
Yeah.
It's like, me being autistic doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, in school it's kind of cliquey.
Mm.
And like, you might get bullied and things of that nature for being different.
Yeah.
In uni, no one cares. Yeah. No one.
It's a different world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone's a bit more mature. Everyone's a bit older, maybe.
100%.
And I think you find yourself, you're not forced to be with anyone that you don't want to be with as well.
Exactly.
I think it's quite important. And you're with people that are either studying a similar interest or sort of you can really formulate those best friends, as you said. About yourself, Amira?
Yeah, I agree with Alan that, to be fair. Cause
I agree with Alan most things. So
It makes, honestly, it doesn't define you as a person. Mm. And everyone, because we've got like group lectures going on, so we sort of have to share about ourselves, and every time that I've mentioned it, it's never really made a difference.
Yeah.
Everyone does support you a lot more, and it is, if not easier, to make friends because everyone's sort of just always there. They're wanting to help you. They sort of ask you, you know, have you managed to get round to doing the reading for tonight? And if not, I'll help you. I'll go through it with you. But honestly, I don't think it's made much of a difference at all.
So, guys, before we end this episode of the Unicode podcast, I want to hear what you would say to your younger self before you applied to higher education. Amira, we'll start with you. What would you have said to your younger self?
I would have told myself to be confident. I think when you're confident in yourself, it sort of reflects on everything that you do.
Mm.
And another thing is just staying at university and getting to know the campus, getting to know your surroundings, know the different buildings, and it's also a way to make friends.
Mm.
So we've got a student union. If you was just to sort of stay in there, do your work on campus rather than at home, it's a lot easier. So I'd definitely say spend more time on campus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you think, because obviously you've got support there and stuff, that's like...
Yeah, it's a lot easier to get any support that you need.
Yeah.
Especially with people in my lecture, they sort of know about my dyslexia. So if I ask them anything, they'll like run at the opportunity to help.
Yeah.
So it is really sweet of them to do that as well.
No, that's very nice. Al, what would you say to your...
I get deep.
You're going to get real meta here. What would you say?
The comfort zone is ruining your life. The more you get out of your comfort zone, the happier you will be. You just don't know it yet.
Yeah.
You're going to meet some incredible people. You're going to find yourself, sort of thing. Not in like a spiritual way, but you're going to find out what you actually want to do. And it's going to seem achievable rather than a pipe dream. It's going to be completely different to school, for sure. It's nothing like where you've been. It's all going to work out.
Beautiful.
Do it.
Do it.
That'll please do it.
Please. I want to record a podcast in 4 years with Jake.
You have mad social anxiety. But one day you're going to do public speaking and be quite good at it. You're going to be on a podcast in middle of Leeds with people that you've never met or you've met once.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a nice time.
Yeah. No, amazing. It's
possible.
Yeah. You're proud of yourself, Al.
I think I am,
You should be. You should be very proud.
I'm proud of younger Al.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to make me emotional.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm going to cry. I've worked out. I met you three times and I'm going.
Yeah. It all came good in the end.
No, thank you both so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being so open about your experiences and the support you found. And yeah, just for allowing us to show younger people that there's actually a really sort of positive view to have of this journey, and see where you can sort of be. And you may be listening to this and think, I can't do that. That's not for me. But it is. People have done it. People will do it. The support is there and will continue to be there. So thank you both for coming on.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. And thank you to everyone for listening to this episode of the UniConnect podcast. If you need any support or if anything from this episode has affected you in any way, please do reach out to those around you and access support that is available to you from your school, from your institutions, from charities, from doctors, things like that. It's really important to look after yourself as well. So yeah, we'll be back next episode where we'll talk about something else higher education related. So thank you and goodbye.